Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Genesis, chapter 20 this time, verse 17. Genesis 20, verse 17.
Genesis 20, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again asking for the blessing and filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in our lives, in our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you might be in the place that you belong in our lives, and that we would worship you. And Lord, be empowered by your Holy Spirit to share the gospel that you've given to us, to a lost and dying world, and to encourage others in the faith. So bless, build Northwood for your honor and glory, and may you be honored and glorified, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is, "So Abraham prayed unto God." We saw that there in verse 17, right at the very beginning. So Abraham prayed unto God, and what we're getting ready to consider here is really a backward step in the life of Abraham. He definitely made a wrong turn here. And the wonderful thing is that God is a merciful God whom we serve. Amen? God loves us and he has a plan for us. By the way, that's not an excuse for us to continue walking disobediently or contrary to the truth. God wants us to walk upright. When God points things out, he wants us to be redirected in our paths and that we would not repeat things just because he's a merciful God and because he has grace. We want to do things that bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by his power and grace and be the right kind of a witness and a right kind of a testimony to a lost and dying world and to others who do have a regard for the Lord. So we're going to consider three thoughts tonight. We're going to consider a repeated offense. We're going to consider also God's intervention of grace, and then Abimelech's submission and Abraham's confession. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1, and we find here this repeated offense. And so we look at verse 17 and we say, wow, how can this be a backward step? Abraham prayed unto the Lord and God blessed Abimelech. Well, we find out the rest of the story here, picking up in verse 1. It says, and Abraham, by the way, remember, this is where God remembered Abraham and he allowed Lot to escape Sodom and Gomorrah, and God had just judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't know why Abraham decided to travel down south here, and he's looking. I believe he's expecting the blessings of the Lord. He may have been influenced by Sodom and Gomorrah because they were a very wicked place. But notice verse 1, it says, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And notice it says here also that Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So He took, now listen, Sarah was his half-sister, but there was a reason why he did that, and it wasn't an honorable one. It was one that he was fearful of what might happen to himself. And so they had entered into this plan. Abraham and Sarah had entered into this agreement that they might be spared in case there was ever an issue. The only problem with that, which is the main problem, is they forgot about the Lord's intervention. They forgot about the Lord's protection in his life. And yet the beautiful thing about it here is God was still merciful toward Abraham. And so here's the wonderful truth. God is never finished with us, amen, and until we leave this life. There's always an opportunity to walk with the Lord. And so, as we considered this repeat offense here, we find God's intervention of grace. So Abimelech has no idea that Sarah is Abraham's wife. And by the way, if you'll pick up, you'll notice in verse 21, there's the birth of Isaac. Possibly, I don't know this, but possibly, maybe Isaac is already in the womb. We don't know the time factor here, but Isaac is getting ready to be born, and anyway, he says, this is my sister. So Abimelech takes Sarah, and notice what happens here in verse 3. We find Abimelech's submission and Abraham's confession. So notice what happens in verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Now he did not know this. Now, by the way, listen, it's not the first time or it's not the only time that God goes to a king, if you will, or a leader and gives a dream, right? We know that he did that for Nebuchadnezzar. We know that he did that for Pharaoh as well. But here we find God coming to him. And notice what he says right here in verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? So this nation was not an ungodly nation in the sense of where they didn't fear the Lord. But he was saying, listen, does God know what righteousness is? Absolutely. He is righteousness. And he was asking, and by the way, God didn't rebuke Abimelech, will you slay a righteous nation? We are not looking to do the wrong thing. They were not like Sodom and Gomorrah. They were looking to do the right thing. And notice what happens. He says, will you slay also a righteous nation? Verse 5, said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And notice what the Lord says. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. So is God commending him? Absolutely. I know that you did this in the integrity of, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Did you see that? God is saying, I want you to know that I was also involved. You did the right thing, but I created this situation also. So listen, God is involved in every situation and circumstance. Isn't that something? That's amazing. He's involved in our lives. And by the way, he's also working in the lives of others that we deal with, right? And so that's a wonderful truth. God was working with him. So Abraham and Sarah fell back into this. By the way, Pharaoh straightened out Abraham also about this, and he repeats it again. Now, listen, I don't want to be too hard on Abraham because we all understand this. We've all been in situations we would like to think, oh no, we stand for the truth. Listen, there are times that it is difficult. Abraham, a friend of God, did not lean on the Lord at this particular time, did not trust God, but leaned to his own understanding. This deception, this wisdom did not come from the Lord. This deception came from his heart. And the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and with the best of intentions. And who can know it? David, a man after God's own heart, developed this idea in his heart to get Bathsheba. Did he not? So let's not fool ourselves. Let's be aware of these things. And the beautiful truth is that God restored David and God restored Abraham, and he did right by Abimelech. In fact, God was involved and instrumental in keeping him from crossing the line, amen, and committing a great sin. So he says, God said unto him in a dream, verse 6, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Did you see who's involved there? So is God in control in every situation and circumstance in our lives? Did Abraham think that God was going to protect him in this? He didn't, did he? And by the way, did Sarah join him? She did join him. And so they conspired. Listen, sometimes we have to be brought to things by the Lord to say, you know what? That was wrong. Amen? That was wrong. And I'm wrong in that before the Lord. And I don't want to do that again before God. And so listen, we are sinful individuals. And again, we don't excuse ourselves, but Lord, I need you to work these things out in my life that I would walk upright before you. So the Lord says, I made sure that you didn't touch her. Now, verse 7, now listen to this very carefully. Listen to what the Lord asks Abimelech to do. The Lord says in verse 7, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So the Lord was pretty serious about this return. I believe Abimelech wanted to return her, but the Lord says to Abimelech, I want you to go to Abraham. He's a prophet. He's going to pray for you. He's going to pray for you. Can you imagine? The culprit who caused the problem in the first place. God is saying, you go to him. Listen, we cause all of our own problems. Amen? We do. God simply wants to bless. But here's the beauty. Listen, God still wants to use us to glorify his name. Isn't that great? God, that's not an excuse to say, oh, well, then it doesn't matter. No. That's not the heart. That wasn't the heart of Abraham, was it? And that's for sure not the heart of the Lord. And so he says, go, and he's going to restore you and all that are thine. And then notice what happens here, what Abimelech does. And this is the last thought here. And this is where we're going to kind of dive into a little bit more things here that are found here. We're going to find Abimelech's submission to the Lord and Abraham's confession. And so here we find here in verse 8, notice what he does. Therefore, because of what God just told him, Abimelech took his time and... What happened? Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning. Did he want to do business with the Lord? Did he want to make things right before the Lord? Did he want to make things right with Abraham? He did, even though he was not the culprit in doing any wrong. And so therefore, because of what he got from the Lord, he rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Question, did they have a reverence for God? They did. Were they anything like Sodom and Gomorrah? Man, boy, God sent two angels over there, and they still, they wanted at them. So they were all caught up. But this kingdom here, this was a different group of people. And so they had a fear of the Lord. And now notice what happens here in verse 9. In verse 9, we're going to see two questions with an important statement. Listen to what Abimelech says. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? Why did you do this to us? That's important. Why did you? And the truth is because he did not trust the Lord. And he assumed the worst in Abimelech. And so he said, what hast thou done unto us? And listen to this. What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom this great sin? Did you see that? He's saying, what have you done? And then he's saying, what have I done that has offended you that you would do this? Now that's important. And the truth of the matter is Abimelech did absolutely what? Nothing. He didn't do anything. But he is still submissive to the Lord, and he is still wanting to make things right. Do you remember what God told Abimelech to do? Give Abraham his wife. That was the bottom line. And he got up early, told his... All right, keep that thought in mind as well. And verse 10, we find another soul-searching question. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Boy, those are some serious questions that he had for Abraham. What have you done? What have I done? And why would you do such a thing, right? Why did you do? And so Abraham's going to give this answer here. It's not the best answer. In fact, we'll see that here in just a moment. It's the truth. Let's just put it down that way. It's the truth, but the problem was he didn't believe God. He didn't trust the Lord in this. And so he's going to reveal to us here, verse 11. And Abraham said, because I thought. That'll get us in trouble every time. When we lean, that means he leaned to his understanding and he was not right. And so listen, and Abraham said, because I thought. Listen, you know what that should do for us? That ought to cause us to put on the brakes. Wait a minute. Let me really evaluate this. Abraham made some assumptions about this Abimelech, didn't he? And about his people, and they were wrong. He did not have all. Don't you love living in a country that presumes you are innocent and must be proven guilty? You wouldn't want to live in Russia where they say the philosophy, I think, of the KGB was, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Aren't you glad we don't? Show me the man, and what they're saying is, we'll find a crime. We'll pin something on him. You want to put this person away? We'll take care of it. No, in this nation, and by the way, before the Lord also, we are innocent. Amen? Until we prove ourselves to be guilty of something. But God, listen, God hopes and wills the best for every one of his children, does he not? God does not jump to any conclusions because he knows everything, amen? And he wants us to trust him. So, notice again, he said, verse 11, and Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake, which was not the case. It was not the case. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness, this is their plan, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place, whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Did you get that? This was already, this was an automatic thing. If this happens, this is the plan. We don't have to discuss it anymore. This is what we're going to do. And so he did it before Pharaoh, and they came into the same situation again and automatically did it again because they did not acknowledge it, that this was not honoring the Lord. This was leaning to their own understanding, which did not have all the facts, and presumed somebody guilty of something that they had not done. Listen, God wants us to love even our enemies, even if we think we know, right? Isn't that what he said? We're to love our enemies. And we're to do good to those that despitefully use us. We're to do the right thing. And so that's that we might be of our heavenly Father, that we might be called children of our heavenly Father. Did Jesus Christ, and he was right, did he not receive false accusations again and again and again? And he submitted. He said, nope. I'm going to drink the cup that my Father has given to me. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to walk with him. And so here we find Abimelech saying, what? What is going on? Abraham's trying to answer. This was the plan that we made here. And then notice here, by the way, God allowed this deception to run its course in the life of Abraham and Sarah, that they might see the folly of their way. I think they got it this time, don't you? Because we don't have any record of this ever being repeated again. And no doubt, it certainly appears that they said this was wrong. And so verse 14 we pick up and we find here, this is what I want you to see. Remember back in verse 7, notice what he says here. Now therefore, God speaking, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet and he shall pray. That's all God asked him to do. But look at what Abimelech does here in verse 14. This is an extended kindness to Abraham and to Sarah. And notice how he addresses this here. Verse 14, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen. Listen. And men servants and women servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and he restored him Sarah his wife. God did not ask him to do that. Do you see that? Listen, this man had a regard and respect for the Lord and for God's man. And God's man did him wrong, and he still respected the Lord's prophet. Do you see that? God, Abraham did wrong, and Abimelech blessed even though he was done wrong. That's the way of the Lord. That's the way the Lord works. God says, don't turn evil for evil, but give good and give mercy and give love for evil. Do you know we cannot do that without the Lord? We won't even think to do that. Our nature is, yeah. When you least expect it, just watch for me. When you least expect it, but that's of the devil. That's not of the Lord. The Lord says, oh no, oh no, listen. I'm going to, has he not given to us what we don't deserve? His love, his mercy, his grace. We don't deserve how much of that? How much, what would we be willing to trade? Because we do make a trade. Do you realize that? When we decide to take vengeance that belongs to the Lord and him alone, we forfeit our walk with the Lord. We don't stop being children of God, but we create a wedge in our relationship with the Lord. And not to believe that is to believe the lie of the devil. When Adam and Eve sinned again, disobeyed the Lord, their relationship with God changed. When David, a man after God's own heart, sinned against the Lord, did his relationship change with God? Won't ours do the same? And so God says, listen, don't lose that. Listen, God is not a respecter of any person. He wanted Abraham on the right track, and he wanted Abimelech to be blessed. He wants you and I on the right track, and he wants all the lives that we influence, all the lives that we come into contact with to be blessed by him. And the only way that we can be a blessing to the lives that we come in contact is if God has our complete obedience and our complete desire, Lord, that you... Listen, God may want an evil, wicked person that would do you wrong to be blessed by you. But if we're not denying ourselves, will we be a blessing or will we be looking to, I don't like that person. I hope a meteor comes out of the sky and falls on them. But that's not what we want. That's not what God wants us to do. And so Abimelech, verse 14, he took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. Was Abimelech done wrong? He was done wrong. Did Abraham not pull the wool over his eyes and cause him to sin before the Lord? And look what Abimelech did. He went over and above what God asked him to do. That honored the Lord, did it not? That blessed Abraham. And I don't think Abimelech did that for spite. I think he did that because he wanted to do right by the Lord and by Abraham. See, Abraham did not deserve what Abimelech gave him. And God didn't even ask him to do it. But Abimelech was willing to give of himself for the honor of God and for the honor of God's will in his life. That's amazing to me. And God wants to do that in our lives as well. And notice this, verse 15. And Abimelech said, listen to this. He's still going. Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. Huh? A kingdom. You take whatever property you want. Where is that coming from? He is honoring God, and God is honoring him. That did not come. Remember, hey, I saw what you were doing. I know it was the integrity, and I also kept you from doing it. Do you think God is moving in Abimelech's life? Do you think he's wanting to move in Abraham's life? Absolutely. And so these are great things. Now watch this. Watch this. Years ago, a missionary from Japan came to Cornerstone Christian Academy where Amy and I taught back in the early 90s. And I'll never forget this story. He was a missionary to Japan. And the Japanese people back then, I don't know how it is today, but back then in the 90s, which wasn't too far long ago, but anyway, they had, you know, they have a high regard and a high respect for one another. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the crime rate is pretty low because they've got this honor about themselves still there. But anyway, this missionary said, I was looking for the directions. And he says, I knew the culture. He'd been there. He could communicate. And he was looking for a specific building. I don't remember if it had to do with the embassy or his visa or something. I can't remember the exact thing. But he was looking for directions. And he asked this Japanese man. And the man said, oh, yes, I can tell you the directions to that. You go to the end of this block and you make a right. And then on this street, you go down and you make another right. And then you go down to the end of that street and you make a right. And then you go down to the end of that street and you make a right. And you'll be there within so many feet, which was right exactly where he was standing. He did not want to make the man feel foolish. He says their culture is, he did not want to tell me, you're standing right in front of the building. He didn't want to tell him that, but he gave him the directions because he did not want to dishonor him. And he was a stranger. Isn't that amazing? God does not want us to dishonor people. Abimelech did not want to... Listen, did Abimelech want to dishonor Abraham and Sarah? Or did he want to be a blessing? Now watch this. This is his wife. And what did God tell him to do to Abraham? Give him back his wife, right? Now watch this. Look at verse 16. And unto Sarah, this is Abimelech, he said, remember he told Abraham, Abimelech said, verse 15, look at my land, right? It's before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah, he said, behold, I have given thy what? Not your husband, your brother. You guys, this is your brother and sister. I'm not going to say different. And technically, you know, there was that relationship there. But he could have said, Sarah, that was your husband, and that would be inferring that you lied. But he is humbly coming before them, and just really trying to restore this relationship. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. With love, with kindness. He is giving, listen, the one that should be the recipient of them giving to him because of what they've done, he's giving to them. When you and I are mistreated and people rightly deserve our wrath and we give them what they don't deserve, we are being like the Lord to give mercy, love, and grace to those who don't deserve it. I like that kind of reproving, don't you? That was pretty gentle. I mean, they walked away with more than what they had. By the way, didn't God reprove us to let us see our sin? How much are we walking away with? Eternal life? Promises and blessings on this side? And things that haven't even entered our minds in the life to come. Isn't that amazing? That's our God, who is so merciful to us. And we don't deserve it, but it is God's pleasure to do that. And so she was reproved, and once all this was done that Abimelech did for them, where could Abraham go? Verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And then if you look at the next chapter, we find the birth of Isaac. But this God dealt with before Isaac came along. And he wanted to make sure that Abraham, by the way, he wants to make sure that you and I are not leaning to our own understanding, but that we acknowledge God and trust him in how many of our ways? In all of our ways. And the beautiful part is, so Abraham prayed unto God. But that was the work of the Lord. Did Abraham deserve any of that? And he gave it anyway, didn't he? What do we deserve? And God gives us mercy and gives us love and gives us grace. And you know what he says? Be like me. Be like me. And when we're like him, we truly are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for your unbelievable mercy and grace that you so freely give to all of your people and to the whole world, Lord, for the receiving of it. Guide our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might walk with you in your wisdom, in your way, in your understanding, and not lean to ours. Bless and build Northwood, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.